They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they'd lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she'd heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered God's people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she blessed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. This is the word of the Lord. I told you that Ruth is only four chapters long, but those four chapters only contain 85 verses. It is short. In fact, Ruth is so short that if you happen to be visiting another church and the sermon got really boring, then you could read the entire book during that boring sermon. But don't you dare try that here. Ruth has not only the gift of brevity, but she also has a great story. Biblical scholars consider Ruth a parable, sort of like the parables that Jesus told in the Gospels. Parables in Scripture are short, fictional stories meant to teach something about the kingdom of God. So a good question to keep in mind while reading Ruth might be, what does this story teach us about the kingdom of God? Some other things to know about the book of Ruth. It is an ancient story, set in the period of the judges. Before King Saul and King David, God appointed judges to rule the people. It was a chaotic time when the people regularly rebelled against God, suffered the consequences for their lawlessness, and then begged God for relief from their enemies. God would then send another judge, and the cycle began anew. One of Israel's fiercest enemies was Moab, which was a neighboring city-state east of the Dead Sea, located in what is now Jordan. If you remember Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan and the way that first century Jewish people despised the Samaritans, then you will understand how ancient Israelite people felt about the Moabites. It was to this enemy nation that Naomi and her husband fled with their two sons when a famine hit Israel. They moved to Moab to escape the famine, and then they stayed and built a life and a family there. When we meet the main characters in this story, we learn that tragedy has struck. Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons. Think of it. All of the men in this family have died, leaving the women, Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, to fend for themselves. With these three deaths, the women lost their economic security, their legal protection, and their social status. At least the daughters-in-law had family in Moab, but Naomi had no one. And so with no external resources to help, she was entirely dependent on herself. She had her daughters-in-law, and she had God. Under the circumstances, Naomi made the decision to return to Israel, to go home. Joan Chittister is a Benedictine sister, a Catholic nun. She is also an author, and she wrote this book called The Story of Ruth. It's beautiful, as you can see. And John August Swanson did the illustrations, which is also on the cover of our bulletin. So in her introduction to the book, Joan Chittister says that even though this story was written over 3,000 years ago, it is timeless because what happened to Naomi and to Ruth happens to all of us eventually. Maybe the circumstances will be different, but none of us makes it through life unscathed. Each of us will face the loss of a loved one at some point in our lives. Chittister said that the chronology of our lives, the daily details, are mostly incidental. What gives our lives meaning are bigger things. She wrote, "Life is really made up of a series of defining moments, moments of loss, risk, change, transformation, relationship, and survival." She goes on saying, "The way that we deal with each of these moments determines who and what we really are, who and what we are intended to be, who and what we can become, both spiritually and socially. So the way we deal with defining moments determines who and what we really are, who and what we are intended to be, who and what we may become." Can you point to those moments in your life, moments that changed everything, moments in which there was a clear before and a clear after? Not one of us will make it through this life without some kind of loss and risk and change, and these things will hopefully lead to transformation. Chittister reminds us that it is what we do with all of this, physically, mentally, spiritually, that determines what happens going forward. The three grieving widows set out for Bethlehem, Naomi's home. Along the way, Naomi woke up from the fog of grief and decided to send her daughters-in-law back to Moab. Maybe it hit her suddenly how dangerous it was to take these two Moabite women into hostile territory. Or maybe she realized what a responsibility it was to offer them what she did not have, food and shelter. And maybe she just wanted to grieve alone. Whatever the case, Naomi clearly cared for Orpah and Ruth. She said to them, "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." May the Lord deal kindly with you. Kindly, in this case, is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed is often translated in Scripture as loving kindness. In saying farewell to her daughters-in-law, Naomi said, "May the Lord use loving kindness in dealing with you, as you have used loving kindness in dealing with the dead and with me." Hesed, or loving kindness, was part of God's character. It seems that it was also a part of the characters of these two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Remember that Ruth's story is compared to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Both Ruth and the Samaritan were despised in Israel for their ethnic and religious backgrounds. They were outsiders, considered other by their Jewish neighbors. Both Ruth and the Samaritan became the agents of God's healing work in the world. In the end, Orpah turned back, and Ruth did not. Ruth refused to leave Naomi, telling her, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried." Now, this text is often used at weddings. Maybe you've heard it in that setting. Ruth pledges her loyalty so beautifully that it makes sense for spouses to make this sort of promise to one another. Ruth, however, made that promise to her mother-in-law, a beloved mother-in-law, obviously. And how did Naomi respond to Ruth's promise of eternal loyalty? The text says that Naomi went silent. She said no more to Ruth. Silence is hard to read, isn't it? Was Naomi overwhelmed with Ruth's declaration, unprepared for such loving kindness in the face of such great loss? Was she angry with Ruth for refusing to leave? Or maybe Naomi had no words to respond to such loving kindness. Perhaps Ruth was a reminder, maybe even an unwelcome reminder, of all that she had lost. Naomi finally spoke when they reached Bethlehem, not to Ruth, but to the town's women. The women half recognized her, asking, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi replied, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Further, she said that the Lord dealt harshly with her and brought calamity upon her. Naomi left Bethlehem full with a loving family, and she returned empty with no family save for her Moabite daughter-in-law. She was empty, hurting, and bitter, blaming God for all that happened, and she did not seem to remember Ruth in that moment or express any gratitude for Ruth's sacrifice and her loyalty. And isn't that so very human? Isn't that what happens to some people when they grieve? They get angry with God and angry with the people around them and sometimes mean. It's tempting to blame Naomi, to think badly of her, until we remember that she lost not one, not two, but three loved ones, her husband and both of her sons. No wonder she was bitter, sad, and angry. She had no time and no energy to put a pretty face on it or to try to make other people feel better about her losses. Naomi was devastated. Joan Chittister wrote this about Naomi's loss and every loss. "Loss, once reckoned, once absorbed, is a precious gift. No, I cannot be what I was before, but I can be, I must be, something new. There is more of God in me, in emptiness, than I have ever known in what I once took to be fullness. There is more of God in me, and we can only learn this in emptiness, not fullness. When we read the Bible stories, it is so tempting to identify with the hero of the story. We want to be like the good characters, the benevolent ones, the strong and faithful ones. Who wants to be the bad guy, the angry, bitter, slightly mean one? We would rather be like Ruth, who was loyal and full of loving kindness, who stuck with her mother-in-law no matter what. In Scripture, though, we never get to identify with the hero. If we are honest, truly honest with ourselves, we aspire to be like Ruth, but we are broken, fallen people who are probably more like Naomi. At least in the first chapter of the book, Naomi is the main character in this story. She represents humanity, but most especially Israel. Israel, the unfaithful people of God who could not remain true to God for more than short periods of time. Israel, who received such love and mercy and grace from God and yet refused to extend it to other nations, other religions, and other cultures. Ruth reminds us that God loves all of God's people, and over again in Scripture and in life, God uses the most unexpected people to fulfill God's purposes. As we end chapter 1, we leave Naomi to her grief and Ruth waiting as her faithful companion. We do this knowing that the story is not yet complete. In her emptiness, will Naomi find more of God inside her? Will she find peace and comfort? And what will happen to Ruth in Israel? Will the people accept this Moabite woman? When I was a child, my sisters and I watched The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights. Do you remember that show? One Sunday night, we watched a movie about Davy Crockett. It was a serial that lasted several weeks. Now, my sisters and I loved Davy Crockett. We loved him so much that we played the scenes from his life all week until the next episode aired. My mom got really worried because she knew that Davy's story ended at the Alamo. And she was afraid that we were about to have a Bambi's mother died level of grief in our house. So she told us the end of the story. She warned us ahead of time so that we knew what was coming. I'm going to tell you now that Ruth is not that kind of story. Ruth's loving kindness triumphs at the end of this story. So please do come back next week for another episode in the beautiful story of Naomi and Ruth in Israel.